The Holy Gospel for us this day comes from Luke in the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was doing or what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I relate to Martha in so many ways. I really enjoy the work, the doing of ministry. And not just in my role as a pastor, but even in like in social settings. When I'm at some sort of social gathering, I often feel uneasy if I don't have some sort of role or responsibility. If I'm there just to mingle, I start to feel a bit anxious and awkward. Having a task or a purpose allows me to sort of feel more grounded. It helps me to see where my place is in relation to the people and the space that's there. So when I hear the gospel story where Jesus is at Martha's house, at first glance, it feels like Jesus is being overly critical of Martha. After all, just last Sunday, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Just the verses right before this story was the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus tells the man at the end of the parable, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go be merciful. Go care for your neighbor. Go love your enemies. Do these things. Do these things." So much of Jesus' teaching is about doing, right? It's about our actions, about how we live out God's love in the world in our actions. Even the writer of the book of James says in the first chapter, he tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And then you see hospitality in the ancient world is incredibly important. Remember a few weeks ago, I think it was 2 or maybe 3 weeks ago, we heard the gospel story where Jesus sends 72 of his followers out in pairs to preach about God's kingdom come near, about how God, and to heal people. And he tells them to rely on other people, to accept the invitation to stay in people's homes and to receive food and to rest, to find rest, a place to sleep. There's good hosts who will welcome them, just like Martha, right? The early church, the first generation of Christians, they really took hospitality to heart. They practiced radical countercultural hospitality. They embraced all people as equals, welcoming each other, poor or rich or Gentile or Jew or male or female. They welcomed everyone equally as if Christ was there himself. And they found ways to ensure that people were cared for in their community with food and places to sleep. So Martha is doing this. Martha is living this actively, right? She welcomes Jesus and likely all the disciples that have come with him. So not just Jesus, but a large group of people that are suddenly in her house. She's preparing a meal. She's making space for them. She's ensuring that everyone is cared for. Being a good host takes real effort, doesn't it? And there's so much to be done. There's a lot of people to care for. I think we can relate to this, can't we? When people come to our houses? Yeah. And understandably, she's feeling overwhelmed. The NRSV translation, which we use in worship, uses the word distracted. But the original Greek word, paraspao, has this connotation of not just being distracted, but actually troubled. Martha is troubled. And perhaps adding to her stress is that her sister Mary is not helping at all. She's not being a good host herself. So Martha goes to Jesus, expecting him to back her up. Maybe even prompt Mary to leave Jesus, his side and to go help. But Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he gently names what Martha is feeling. That she's feeling anxious and troubled by many things. And then he says something unexpected. But there's need of only one thing. One thing. That kind of reminds me of City Slickers. Do you remember that movie when it was the one thing? There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen it, to sit with Jesus and to listen. The issue isn't that Martha is overly worried about silly things. Perhaps it's that while she has been busy providing for Jesus, she misses that Jesus wants to provide for her. That Jesus, God's word made flesh, is there to welcome her, to play host for her. One biblical scholar that I came across this week said it like this, that it's difficult for some of us to move from a role of provider to being someone who receives a gift from another. That often leaves us feeling too vulnerable. Too little in control. You see, Mary and Martha are two powerful examples of discipleship, of what it means to follow Jesus. They're not opposing examples, they're complementing examples. They show us the fullness of what it means to follow Jesus, the being and the doing, the receiving and the giving. Contemplation and spending time with Jesus, and action, serving others. A metaphor that you saw me use with the kids was as if our life is like a cup, right? Being filled up and poured out. A mentor once told me something that has stuck with me for years. You can't pour from an empty cup, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. As I said earlier, I love doing the doing part of ministry. I love pouring out my cup. But it's easy. It's easy for me to forget to pause and to be filled. This means spending time with Jesus, listening and resting and opening up my heart and receiving God's grace. It's practicing a posture, a disposition of receiving, right? Of openness. It's like pausing to make space for God to speak in whatever way that might be. This requires intentionality, doesn't it? I know that I have to be intentional about this in my life. And I realize when my cup is running dry, because it's then that I usually am feeling more anxious or overwhelmed or feeling untethered in my life. That's usually the sign for me when my cup has run dry. And it's then that my spiritual director will then ask me, have you been making space for God in your life? Have you been praying in your life? And sometimes I realize that I've maybe shortened those times, right? I've been a little more neglectful of making space for those times. My friends, God has called each of you to many roles in your life. Many roles, what Martin Luther calls vocations in your life. God has called you to many vocations, and these include your families and your friendships and your work and your communities and your passions and many other aspects of your life. And each of your vocations, these unique callings from God, they require something of you. They're not just titles or tasks. They are relationships and responsibilities that take real time and care and emotional energy. Think about your role in your family. Whether you're raising children, whether you're helping with grandchildren, whether you're caring for a partner, whether you're checking in on aging parents, whether you are a child or a sibling, these relationships are absolutely meaningful, and at times, they can be exhausting. The emotional labor of showing up again and again for people whom you love requires real energy. Consider your friendships. Being a good friend means holding space for others when they're hurting. It means celebrating milestones with them in their life. It means making time in your schedule when your schedule feels impossible. Strong friendships don't thrive on autopilot. Think about your job. Whatever it might be, whether it's paid employment, whether it's being a student, whether it's a volunteer, a caregiver, your work in the world matters. And that work requires your energy, doesn't it? Sometimes it even asks for more attention than you feel like you can give it. It requires more attention than you can give. And then many of you serve here in the church, whether it's showing up to set up communion, whether it's mowing the lawn, whether it's serving on a committee, whether it's serving here in worship. Many of you serve in this place. And all of these vocations, all of these ways, these things that you do in your life, they are holy and they are good. And God shows up in those places with you. They're living faith in action. And they can also leave you feeling spent sometimes. So much so that we might lose the joy in what we do. We might risk living out our purpose while neglecting time with our purpose giver. So in all your doings, my friends, when have you felt your cup running dry? In all of your doings, when have you felt your cup running dry? Friends in Christ, God's grace is for you. God's love is for you. The gospel, the good news that brings freedom, healing, and life in Christ, it is not meant to be a 5-hour energy drink that you just gulp down and toss aside while you keep going down the road on the race. The gospel is like cool water of baptism. It's like baked bread and poured wine at a shared table. The gospel is meant to be received with open hearts and hands and to be savored together in community so that your cup can be filled. Every time that we gather here around this table and around that font, Jesus promises to meet us here. Jesus promises to show up not with demands, but with gifts. Water for the parched, bread for the hungry, and wine for the weary. Jesus is our host, the one who welcomes you and I into this place, who fills up our cup with love and grace and peace. So until we meet again next week, I invite you to consider some things. Where do you make space in your life to sit with Jesus? Where in your life do you make space to sit with Jesus? And what practice, whether it's prayer or walking or journaling or having conversations, what practice fills you up? What practice fills you up in this life? I pray that you lean into these moments wholeheartedly amidst all of your doings this week so that God's presence may fill you up and lead you and sustain you always. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy God, through Mary and Martha, you show us what it means to be filled with your words of life and to pour ourselves out for our neighbor. Nourish us with your presence in word and meal, that we may receive your freedom, healing, and life, and live out your love for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.